Let us pray together. Shall we pray? What a beautiful morning it is, O Lord, for this is the day that you've made, and we've come to your house to seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for the opportunity to come. May your spirit abide with us as we worship you in this hour. Amen. Will you stand? Our reading from the Psalter is from Psalm 104, selected verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You are clothed with honor and majesty, and cover yourself with light as with a garment.
You have stretched out the heavens like a tent, and have laid the beams of his upper chambers on the waters.
You make the clouds your chariot, and ride on the wings of the wind.
You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers.
Yet you set the earth on its foundations, so that it should never be shaken.
You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
At your rebuke they fled.
At the sound of your thunder they took to flight.
They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place which you appointed for them.
You set a bound which they should not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth.
You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills.
They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst.
Above the springs, the birds of the air have their nests. They sing among the branches.
From your lofty place, you water the mountains. With the fruit of your work, the earth is satisfied.
O Lord, how manifold are your works.
In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide.
Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things both small and great.
There go the ships and Leviathan, whom you formed to play in it.
These all look to you to give them their food in due season.
When you give to them, they gather it.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed.
When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created.
And you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praise to my God, all I have of being.
May my meditations be pleasing to the Lord, in whom I rejoice.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let us bow in prayer. Shall we pray? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in our acts of worship, our adoration and praise, we are reminded of the prophet Isaiah at the time when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. In our own way, we have sought to manifest our appreciation for your glory, to reflect through music and the word, sung and spoken, how highly we think of you, how magnificent you are, and how you have seen forth to bring us into being and to give us the blessings of life, showering them upon us in such generous ways. When we have seen that and remembered the prophet's experience, we, like him of old, are quick to confess that we are not worthy. We are not worthy of all of your goodness and your bountiful blessing. We confess to you, O Lord, that we have lived to ourselves. We've been very selfish. We have taken for granted your magnificent gifts. We've expected them and we feel entitled for them. We confess to you that we've not always loved you as you want us to. We haven't loved our neighbor, and we certainly haven't loved ourselves. We have been frustrated because we cannot control everything. But yet, Lord, when you let us attempt and we control some things, we confess to you that we mess up fairly quickly, that we do not know how to live without your guidance. So we confess that we have simply wandered away, wandered off the beam in the beaten track. We confess before you silently our special misgivings about how we live, the things we would like to change. We confess to you our need and our help to deal with the things that imprison us, whether it be disappointment or hatred of someone else or situations with life in our work and our play, with our money, our indebtedness, our need to buy everything we see. All these demons have captured us at one time or another, O Lord, and we confess before you at this time silently these our sins. We lift them to your throne of grace. We would ask you, O Lord, to intercede on our behalf and also to intercede in areas where we have no contact but know about, where we understand what's going on but cannot do one thing to alter the situation. There are many things in this world, many things in our area, our town, our region of the country, that simply need your attention. And we beg of you to intercede where there is conflict, where there is oppression, whether it be in the Middle East or the Far East or right here in Rockwood. We ask your intercessory presence to make things right, that we can live as the Prince of Peace would have us live. We especially are praying for our political process. Please, O Lord, help everyone who aspires for high office, whether it be the highest office or offices not quite as important as President of the United States. But help all of us lift forth the very best that we have to offer so that we can indeed, with your help, let this place, this world, our nation and people everywhere live on a higher plane of existence, that all may glorify your most holy name. Hear our prayer of absolution and pardon. Help us to accept the fact that if we confess our sins and truly repent from them, you will pardon us. Thank you for this blessed assurance and the gift of Jesus, which is ours forever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Several months ago, I invited Wayne to set up a recital for himself and our musicians. This afternoon is that recital. After we feed our faces over there in the fellowship hall, immediately following worship. Now, if that is a taste of what we're going to get after a while, we are delighted. And we want to say amen again, do we not?
Amen.
And thank you, Wayne, and musicians. And John Trimley, you usually are up there, but you decided this recital was not your bag, so we understand. But the four of them have made music for worship for a number of weeks. And sadly, we have to announce and let you know that the Hansards are off to Florida on Tuesday. We shall miss you, but I think you know how to get back this way, so you come when you can. Dabney, Trish, it's been great to see you. I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something to talk with you about. Would you come? Glad to see everybody. Goodness, what a nice crowd we're having today. Welcome. I'll scoot over. There you go. Well, this children's address is really very, very simple. Come on over here so you can see. It's very, very simple. Do you all know what this is on this end of this pencil? What is this thing?
Eraser.
Eraser. You see that eraser? What does it do?
Eraser.
Yeah, an eraser, yes. Well, now, I've made a mark over here. It's instructing me about worship, okay? See there, I've written on this bulletin. Okay, now look, what happens if I work the eraser on it? Where'd that mark go? You can barely see it, can't you? So what I did was erase it, right? I did. I want you to remember, boys and girls, remember something. Sometimes we mess up in life. Have anybody up here ever done something that they got a paddling for? Or got assigned to your room or made to leave the table? Has anybody ever done anything wrong up here? Did you hear that giggle? Well, look, when we do something wrong against Jesus, it's like a mark. See there? We've done something wrong. It's a mark right there. But when we confess to Jesus and God and the person that we've done this mark against, God and the person forgives us and erases it, just like that pencil eraser. Now, isn't that neat? You see here, it's all erased. That's what Jesus did for us. It showed us. He showed us how to confess our sins, receive forgiveness, and get a free day to start all over again. Isn't that neat? So let's remember every day we're to confess our sins, repent of what we did, and then receive forgiveness. Let's have a prayer, okay? Dear God, thank you for letting Jesus' life and work be the great eraser for the world and humankind. Help us recognize we are to confess our sins when they happen, turn to you for forgiveness as well as the people against whom we've sinned, and then accept the free gift of pardon. Bless us, O Lord, and help us use Jesus' eraser every day. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. You may go back. Now, our scripture lesson today is found in Mark's Gospel from chapter number 10, verses 35 through 45. So let us hear the word of the Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. We'll stand as we sing.
Place where sin cannot
Please be seated. Once again, let us bow in prayer together. Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when we clergy preach from selections of the lectionary, such as I've been doing for the last several weeks, we simply take the passage and preach what's in it. That has to be part of the sermon, mind you, but we clergy would be remiss if we didn't put that passage in the context of Mark's gospel. So today I want to do that, because what we have here in this passage is the result of Jesus' third attempt to try to tell the disciples what it's going to mean to follow him. Now, mind you, get this picture in your mind's eye. There are 12 people of our Lord's own selection who are the inner disciples. You have scores, if not hundreds, of others who will follow him whenever he walks in close proximity to where they live. And they would have known a great deal about Jesus by word of mouth. So even though we have the internet, they would tell people and they would run from village to village. He should be here middle of the week. Look for him. And then somebody else would say, yes, he's going to make it middle of the week, but it'll be earlier, it'll be Tuesday. So that's in our mind's eye. Now, Jesus, in the meantime, he's got his commission. He's got his duty, his work, his vocation, his calling. And it is to proclaim the kingdom of God, to forgive sins and to heal. Now, what he's doing with those 12 is to get them conditioned to be followers of Christ even after he's gone, okay? So he's going to give them lessons in what's going to be happening to him. Just before this particular passage that I read, Jesus explained for the third time, actually, what is going to happen to the Son of Man. How he's going to go to Jerusalem, how he's going to be captured by the religious leaders, turned over to the Romans, how he's going to be persecuted, spat upon, whipped, betrayed, denied, all of that. And they don't get it. Now, the first time he told them, Peter said, that's not going to happen to you. No, we've got other plans for you, and they do not include being captured and killed. That was the occasion Jesus said to Simon, to get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but on the side of humankind. See how they missed the point? He's telling it like it is, but they just don't get it. They want him to go to the throne and be the great Messiah, the king like David. And that's in their mind's eye. So he tells them differently. Not going to happen. There'll be no way. He tells them a second time in Mark's gospel. The previous thing I just described was in Mark 8. In Mark 9, he tells the disciples once again. And this time the disciples, quote from Mark, did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask. Have you ever been in school or a lecture series or perhaps continuing education and the presenter said something and you went, oh my goodness, I just don't get that. Been there, done that lots of times. Did you clamor for attention or did you duck like I used to do and hope the professor wouldn't call on me? Ever done that? Well, the disciples were afraid to ask him, but they didn't get it again. So here we go. They're afraid to ask him anything, and Jesus tells them once again. In the verses just prior to this, he talks to them about how the Son of Man's got to go into Jerusalem, how he'll be betrayed, how he'll be spat upon, how he'll be executed. The third day, rise from the dead, but they don't even get the resurrection bit yet. And then out of the clear blue, James and John come up. Now, he's just said that, mind you. Then the clear blue, James and John come up and they say, we have something to ask you. Oh, what's that? Can't you just see Jesus in a receptive mode? Oh, my, they want to push my point. They want me to explain a little something. All of us teachers are like that. We want to say a little bit more about what we've just presented. Well, guess what? I mean, way out in left field, here they come. Well, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. I think it was probably one of the great disappointments with the disciples in his whole career. Because third time around and they still just didn't get it. That in order for the glory of the Christ to come, Christ had to suffer first. They didn't get it. But instead of simply withdrawing and walking away from them or saying, man, you are out of it. You just don't get it, do you? What have I got to do to know? He didn't even go there. What he did do was explain something. He said, look, are you able? Are you able to drink the cup that I am going to drink? Now, it's interesting here because cup in this context and in the Bible has a lot more meaning than what we might think. One of the earliest uses every day that I have for a cup is something to put my coffee in. Give me a cuppa, a C-U-P-P-A. That's why I call it a cup of coffee. And that's all that I use a cuppa for. I don't drink from a cup unless I have tea later in the day. I don't know what your habits are with a cup, but in the scriptural times, cup means whatever life places upon you. So David in the Psalm 23, he can say, my cup runneth over. His feeling of life and what life offers him, it simply runs over because the Lord is his shepherd and he does not want. Now we're getting the hang of what the meaning of the cup is in the Bible. A cup is what gives you, what God gives you, what life gives you, what the world gives you, what your neighbors and friends and family give you. That is your cup. It's your cup of life. Will you drink? Are you able to drink that cup? The stuff I've got to go through? And then the next one, and will you be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Now, immediately we think of something called the sacrament. We have a baptismal font, and it usually has water in it, especially and hopefully when we have somebody to be baptized. That's only one use of the word baptism. Baptism in that day, especially with the particular Greek usage that Jesus is using, has to do with being completely covered up. We would call it immersed. With our methods of baptism we have in the Methodist Church, immersion is when you go all the way under the water. Without exception in our youth departments, throughout everywhere that I've been, the young people call it ducking. So will you be ducked? In other words, but your point is that in the method of baptism known as immersion, you go all the way down underneath the water. That's the point that Jesus is making. Will you be baptized, be put underneath the water that I am baptized with? But this has nothing to do with cleansing from our sins. Many of you, and so have I, and so have people that I know and love, we have been covered up with realities that we cannot escape. Have you ever had so much in your cup that it overflows with not necessarily goodness, but with stuff? Your soul is so burdened, you don't know if you can make it another day. That is the implication of baptism in this context. And all of us have been there, done that. All of us know people who are there right now. And all of us would do anything and everything we could to get out of being underneath what life places upon us. This is what Jesus is asking James and John. Can you drink the cup? And can you be baptized with what I'm going to be baptized with? And they says, oh, yes, yes, we can do that. They have no idea. And for that matter, we don't either. We don't even know what tomorrow offers. But in Christ, we are to remember that he drank the cup of life first. And he was inundated with everything negative that life can place upon him. And God never forgot him and showed him the way out. We are to remember that when we are in that situation now. So they said they could. Yes, we are certainly able to drink the cup, and we accept the baptism that life will put upon us. So Jesus just flat puts it. Well, it's not my prerogative to give you those positions of honor, to be on the right hand of power and on the left hand of power. In other words, you want to be in my inner circle in the court of heaven, perhaps the Secretary of State or the Vice President. You want to be able to sit with the cabinet, which are the 12 disciples. You want to be closest. Now, it's interesting here because the leader of the disciples is not James and John, it is Peter. And those two dudes, they forget all about Peter. They're not thinking of Peter, but yet he's the spokesperson. How do you think Peter is feeling at this point? Well, the scriptures say that the disciples got angry with James and John. They were encroaching, they were elbowing up the ladder of importance to be next to Jesus. Jesus sees this as a teaching moment. How often it is that we Christians have teaching moments, but we are tempted to go the way of the world and become petulant, or we become defensive, or we act out, or we do something else absurd, which is most unbecoming of a follower of Jesus. Jesus sees this as a teaching moment. He didn't say at this point, how dense you people are. He gets frustrated at another portion of the scripture, but he didn't this time. So he comes around, he says, looky here. I want to teach you a little something. You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers, they lord it over them. And their great ones are tyrants over them. All he did was, don't you see? This is how the world works. Don't you see those leaders lording it over their subjects? As if to say, you ought to be on the right and the left hand of power so you can lord it over the other folks who are disciples. That's what Jesus is hearing, and that's what the disciples have heard, and that's why they're agitated against them. He says, don't be like the Gentiles. Be instead like citizens of heaven. And this is what he's trying to get across, and he's still to this day trying to get it across to us. How often it is that we enjoy our positions in life, one way or the other. We can't help it. We're human. But in the realm where God is, to put on the glasses that God wears, whoever wishes to be great must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first must be slave of all. That's turning the world's values upside down. Now let's think about that. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are set apart. God has chosen everyone who follows Jesus to be a change agent in the world, because the world's got their own protocol, the world has their own value system, and it is not what God wants through Christ. It just isn't. It's quite the opposite. And then this last sentence, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." A ransom. This is a very important word in the theology of the Christian church. What did he mean by a ransom for many? You see, when Adam sinned, he and Eve were kicked out of the garden. They were not allowed the protection of the Garden of Eden. God still loved them. As a matter of fact, he made clothes for them. In an ancient Bible times, the translation is that God made breeches for Adam. And that's to this day called the Breeches Bible because of that translation. So God still loves us, but there's been a gap. When Christ came, that ransomed us from the sin of Adam. It's called atonement. Christ atoned for our sins. Now, the first millennium, the first 1,000 years of the Christian church, that is exactly how Christians believed. But as you get into the Middle Ages, with a man named Anselm of Canterbury, Archbishop, he understood ransom. He understood atonement as God is satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. That's called a satisfaction theory of atonement. And then in the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas said Jesus substituted himself for our sins. So he bore the brunt of punishment for the sins of the world. As I thought about that when I was growing up as a little boy, I kept saying, how could one man pay for the sins of the world that haven't even been committed yet? I usually would get the answer to be the Son of God. That's why. He was the Son of God, and he was able to pay for every sin with his own death, sacrifice, his own being baptized. Then in the 20th century, a Swedish bishop by the name of Gustav Olin said those earlier understandings of the atonement, they are not complete. What Jesus did on the cross was become the victor over the sins of the world. That what God did through Christ was show evil how God overcomes evil. His idea is known as the Christus Victor, Latin for Christ the Victor. So what we do, and I subscribe to that one, I remember reading his book by that title when I was in seminary, Christus Victor. He said, it is Christ the Victor. He conquered sin and death through his sacrifice, through his taking everything negative that humankind could put upon him, dying death itself. God raised him, which means God won that struggle. Now, this simply means that if we want to follow Jesus, this simply means that if we want Jesus as personal Savior, we can't just go looking for the cross and say we've won. We have to go through suffering and death. We have to go through the reality of betrayal. The reality of denial. The reality of having one's heart broken because Jesus' followers didn't get it. And he did the best he could. We have to undergo all of that so we can indeed lay claim to the fact that Christ overcame that. He overcame that. That Christ lets us be victorious over all the negative stuff that's upon us. So our question today, and our question to think about, how are we inundated? How are we covered up? How are we drowning in that which the world places upon us? Keep the faith. Jesus has been there before you. Jesus had all that happen to him, and God didn't forget him. God lifted him up because Christ is indeed the victor over sin and death and all the negativity that life places upon us. That is our Lord and Savior. The disciples didn't get it in our Lord's day. Do we get it? Do we get it? Do we think we can have the crown without the pain and the hurt? Can't do it. We've got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, for God is with us. May the Lord help us with all the stuff life puts upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now come in our service to the response to God's challenges. We do so first by giving to God and showing God's appreciation to God, our appreciation of what he's given to us. So let those who will be collecting the offering and the tithes, if you would come at this time, we will receive them. Shall we bow in prayer? Accept, O Lord, these your tithes and our offerings, and bless the privilege that we have of giving back to you money which you have let us earn. Use this money to further your work in this church, in this area, indeed throughout the world. Amen.
seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pastor's already mentioned, but I'll remind you that we have a luncheon over in Fellowship Hall immediately following worship service as a prelude to the concert that Wayne and others are going to provide. So come over and enjoy yourself. Also coming up, our annual Trunk or Treat event will be on Saturday, October 31st. Need donations, need volunteers, candy. There's a basket out in the hallway for all that. Not in your bulletin, but Richard's asked me to announce that next Sunday, immediately following worship service, trustees will have a meeting in the Parish and Spares Room. Don't forget, we're still raising money and items for the Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. We're trying to get to 100.
Yes.
Anybody else got anything? Guests or visitors to recognize?
Well, we have Trisha's mom, Mimi, is with us today.
Good, and welcome, Mimi.
Say hello, Mimi.
We're glad you're here. Anybody else?
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Roane County High School is the Roane County Band Festival. All the high school bands of Roane County will be there to show off their marching band shows. Admission is a canned item or non-perishable food item to get in. It's going to be a great night.
Tomorrow night. Get up and say hello to somebody.
Answered to the death we follow thee.
place in paradise. Lord, we are able, our spirits are high. Mold and make us like the divine, by guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, true love and loyalty. Able when the shadows close around you with a sun, to believe that spirit triumphs, to commend your soul to God. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able,
still the Master
whispers down eternity, and heroic spirits answer, now as then in Galilee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be.
Just a moment of personal privilege. I thank you all who have talked with me, mentioned suggestions about the differing ways of worship. So keep that coming. We're going to continue tweaking it, probably even changing it back. If people really just can't handle this kind of worship, we'll go back. We're never cast in stone or in iron or in steel. I just simply want to present to you a part of the Christian tradition. But some of you, and really several of you, have mentioned to me, I think we ought to do this instead of that. So keep that coming. It's really very much appreciated. Now, one more thing. Sometimes you good people have been known to hang around the food waiting for the preacher to come and have the blessing. They got Richard to pray the other day, and somebody else can pray. But I'll declare, I believe I'm just going to pray right now over the blessing of the food. Don't you think that's a good idea? That'll work, won't it? So when you all show up over there with your stomach thinking your throat has been cut, I want you to tell them that the preacher's just prayed. Where's the food? Think that'll work? So let us have the blessing and the prayer. Father, we give you thanks for our time together. Let us be able to follow you no matter where life leads us. And let us also remember that wherever we go, Christ has been there and done that, and he understands. Thank you so much for calling us to be followers of Jesus. And bless us and bless the food that's out there in front of us ready to be eaten as we go to the fellowship hall. And bless our musicians as they bring forth truly the work of their efforts and their talents, and also the joy of music. People of God, go in peace. Amen.